One. Good afternoon, Patriot Pals. Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. People often ask me who I watch and listen to get the truth and get some facts and understand what is going on geopolitically and domestically. And today I'm blessed to have one of my favorite people, Pete Santilli, on my show to talk a little bit about where we are and where we're going and what we can do about it. Thank you for joining me, Pete.
You know, the first time we met, I think it was like, remember that old cartoon? I don't know if I'm dating myself, Chip and Dale. They're just so kind and give each other so much reverence. And you know what? The same thing with you. For many months, because you haven't been doing it for years, for, you know, the past several months. It seems like years now with all the stuff that's been happening. I've been listening to you, and the beautiful part of what I've learned from you is that, you know, like, you'll bring something up, it'll be the first time I ever heard it, and then I'll go do some fact checking and research, and darn it, it's out there. It's all right out in front of us. So I've learned a lot from you as well. I appreciate the kudos.
Oh, thank you so much. Lots of people love you, and you are their meter of what's really going on. You actually cut through the fake news almost better than anyone else out there. And if my audience doesn't watch you, they should start today. But for people that don't know you, which is amazing, can you tell my audience a little bit about who you are, how you got here, and how you became somebody literally on the front lines of the information war to save this country?
I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Okay. You know, for decades, I was Joe Suit and Tie, Corporate America. I worked for Bell South Telecommunications. Then I was working for Coca-Cola. That's a separate story. But after Coca-Cola, I started a business. But I had always been, you know, suit and tie. And I had a pretty decent social media presence. I had a huge Twitter following. I was like one of the first ones actually to reach 100,000 followers on Twitter in the very beginning. But that's before all the celebrities came out. I think one of the first celebrities that I was friends with her was Britney Spears, believe it or not. And so I had a decent following. And then about 2011, it was actually November 2011 when Alex Jones says, and I had listened to him for a long time. He's like, I can't do this by myself. I need your help. Get a camera and a microphone. Get out there. And I'm like, he's right. You know, he needs some help. So December 18th of 2011, I started a podcast, and, you know, I was the first listener when I pushed play, and I told my social media following, hey, we're in trouble. This guy's a communist. I mean, I was a real big follower of the financials. I've always been a financial wingnut. That's what brought me to Alex Jones, was Gerald Celente and Bob Chapman back in the day. And I said, oh, this guy, Alex Jones, is a weirdo. It's a wingnut. Talking about 9/11 being an inside job. Well, I came awake to all that stuff. So anyways, here I am wanting to do my part in independent media. And I started covering immediately some of the biggest stories of our age. I started covering 9/11 Truth. As you can imagine, I got attacked for that. Then I started to become an activist, per se, wanting to rally people. And I was, what was it, 2013, October 2013. You remember when Obama had the government shut down? They shut down the World War II Memorial.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm a veteran. And I'll tell you what, we had, you know, this big thing with the truckers ride for the Constitution. A whole bunch of people were in D.C. And I had broadcast that entire event with a bunch of patriots opening up the World War II Memorial. And all the veterans marched all the barricades down to the White House. And Obama was evacuated from the White House. Because they were so concerned about his quote unquote safety. 2013, that set it off. That really put me on the radar of the deep state. And I never stopped from 2013, then Bundy Ranch in 2014. I actually covered it was a set of circumstances where the goons, the federal goons at the Department of Interior were pointing guns at the Bundy family. They were unarmed. And I went out there, I recorded a video, sent it up on YouTube. It was the fastest video to hit 1 million views because everybody was so outraged.
Right.
And what ended up happening is the Bundy Ranch, they called it a standoff, but it was actually a protest. The sheriff came in on April 12th, 2014, and kicked the feds out of Nevada. and said, you need to stop pointing guns at people. Well, I was really on the map then, and I pissed off the deep state. Then a couple of years went by. You know, we had millions of people. I mean, our listener, our viewership was just through the roof.
Right.
And 2016 came. Ammon Bundy, who I just had on my show this morning.
Oh, wow.
Got with me 2 hours, 2 years later, 2 hours later, 2 years later. And he said, hey, there's another ranching family up in Oregon. And they're going after them. They're calling them arsenal terrorists, which is stupid because they were just sitting in backfire. But the Obama administration's after this ranching family because they want their water rights. They want their mineral rights. So I went to a protest to bring awareness to the Hammond family. Now, this is where things really got pretty dicey with James Comey's FBI. You know, of course, Loretta Lynch's Department of Justice, the, you know, Obama administration. I held basically broadcasts throughout the entire month. I uncovered throughout the month. I said, why are they sending military force out here to southeastern Oregon? And I found out that it was Uranium One had an interest in southeastern Oregon. And I said, now look at this. This is amazing. At the time I reported, $130 million went from Uranium One to the Clinton Foundation. That was on January 25th. We were out there for a month with this protest at the Malheur. It was called the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge. Held them off for a month. And 10 hours after I broadcasted millions of people that Hillary Clinton had taken $130 million from Uranium One, Loretta Lynch signed off on my arrest warrant. I was arrested on January 25th, of 2016.
Wow.
It was a fabricated indictment.
What were the charges?
What's that?
What was the charges?
They made it up. They said I conspired to take over. I call it a bird farm. Okay. It's a wildlife refuge. They said that I conspired with Ammon Bundy and the protesters to take it over. Although I was on the outside, I never went in there. I never, you know, participated in the protest. I was against breaking the law, but they manufactured it completely. And they held me for 619 days as a political prisoner.
Wow. So you have extra insight into what's going on right now with the political prisoners being held in D.C., apparently being tortured and all of that. So this is that's really shocking. But now you're watching it happen to hundreds and hundreds of people. What happened to you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's the beautiful part of it. Well, first of all, I broadcast. I was real early on with live streaming before Facebook Live even.
Right.
You know, came about, but I was one of the first journalists to broadcast an entire month a major international news story. Then they took an investigative journalist on the inside. They made up the whole scenario. The worst thing they could have ever done was to put an investigative. Could you imagine if they put you on the inside? You had access to all the discovery on January 6th, and you sat there with a bunch of free time on your hands. We defeated them in two federal trials.
Wow.
The same exact thing that they've done here with January 6th.
Right.
They did the identical thing with the Bundy Ranch and the Oregon protest. It's almost identical. Same people.
Right.
Same repeat methodology. It's a pre-planned false flag event to just scoop up all the deplorables and scare everybody else off in the Patriot community.
Right.
But they got caught then, and they're going to get caught this time.
Right. Now, you've also been very into and on the forefront of exposing what's really going on here. You know, the color revolution with us all fighting each other in the street is really designed so that we don't see who really is, who installed this regime in D.C., who is pulling the strings and what their goals are, which are very nefarious and being revealed more and more every day. And we just heard about the metaverse, the meta. Which in Hebrew means death, people should know, not by accident. But we have Zuckerberg announcing this virtual reality future, which, of course, Klaus Schwab wrote about, like he wrote about COVID-19, the Great Reset. He did his Event 201. He did his cyber polygon tabletop exercise. And now it's the fourth industrial revolution. And yet too many people are not seeing what they're doing and where we're going. when you're watching this, all this stuff unfold, this dystopia that they're leading us to walk into, what are you thinking, and what are you, where are we right now in terms of this battle against this demonic small group of puppet masters?
What to say? But I'm going to encapsulate, and it takes a long time, obviously. That's why I do a long formatted show. I like doing it because I have a conversation. We'll dig into the nuts and bolts of things. First of all, the people that have hijacked our system, they've done so through electronic voting machine fraud for decades. They've installed, if you ever wondered why your city council is so leftist,
right,
there's a reason for it. Yeah. Because of it's not just the algorithm, it's not just offshoring the stuff. There's stuff right within the code, in the source code of the machines, that they shave all the votes. It's a multi-pronged thing. And they've been doing it for many, many years, dating all the way back to the early 2000s. So they've hijacked every single institution. Well, who did that? I'm going to tell you who did it. It's the Democrats and the Republicans. Mitt Romney actually bundled and financed worldwide electronic voting machine fraud through Diebold, right? Remember that Diebold?
Yeah, sure.
All these mergers and acquisitions. They've got these shell corporations to hide who actually owns them. Venezuela was absolutely involved with the electronic voting machine fraud with Smartmatic. Then you can go, and you mentioned the UN. I think he's the chair of the Lucius Trust. Lord Malik Brown, okay, got caught in the Philippines a few years ago doing the same thing that they did here in the United States of America.
Right.
They will do anything to maintain power. Well, guess what? They got caught. Why did they get caught in November of 2020? We broke their algorithm. They basically would be able to normally just slip in under the radar, but so many people went to vote that the anomalies just basically the cream just rose to the top.
Right.
And we caught them in 2020. Now, 2020 happened. There were enough questions, obviously, about electronic voting machine fraud to the point to where people were really, really upset. Well, all of this stuff was pre-scripted, pre-planned. Marxism, what it needs to actually finish us off is to go into the crisis stage and then, of course, get violence, okay?
Right.
Get us to perpetrate violence. Once they have violence and we start fighting them back, then they can run to the podium and say, oh, we will save you, and then normalize everything.
Right.
It's all part of a script. History has been written. You see them doing these color revolutions all over the world, but they did it most recently here in the United States of America, and we're still in the middle of it.
Right, right. Yeah, the scary part is you and I have been on the same page about who's really running this, but it's such a small group of people. But even to think about America, people talk a lot about, I've been touring around, you go around, you know, Trump. No. The election wasn't stolen from Trump. It was stolen from we the people. Every citizen of this country should be outraged at all that there was cheating, because it's our down ballots that are really affecting us now at home. And people are awake to it finally. I remember Trump said in an interview once, he said that there was an invisible enemy that had all the money, all the power, their own military, all of that. And people like you have been out there naming them. And this is bad for them, because I believe not only are they broke, but now you watch the G20 and what they're doing, they're mocking us. They're mocking us. Now they're introducing, you and I both talked on our shows about the fraud that is the Fed and the IRS. They want to weaponize the IRS. They're putting all billions of dollars, supposedly. All it's going to be is a bunch of people to bully us and surveil us. I feel the real goal of COVID-19, the Great Reset, is the Great Reset. And that includes full mass surveillance, including predictive policing, which is terrifying, tying it to this health pass. But now you're watching Yellen and this Omarova, that they're bringing in a true Marxist and communist into, they're saying they're going to bring that into the Treasury. If they do seize our private financial freedom, it takes a whole nother turn. What are you seeing with that? Because every time Yellen opens her mouth, or they bring this Marxist communist woman in to speak, I just think we cannot allow this to happen. If they take our freedom, our financial freedom, they're already trying to take our health freedom. They're going to connect it all to the World Economic Forum track and trace. And then humanity's in big trouble. So where do you find us on that front?
I'm most concerned, because I'll tell you what, like I said, for decades, I followed the financials.
Right.
I mean, I know about it's probably multiple quadrillions in credit default swaps and derivatives and stuff like that are going to explode now with the potential for, let's say, some debts not being paid. Right. It'll cause an explosion. And they know that that cascade will essentially collapse it. But guess what? We've always been worried about that. But what I'm most worried about is those that have their finger on that button to set that off intentionally.
Right.
I'm worried about the small cabal. And I think that's what's delayed. We have what we, you know, what I call it, and no offense to any, my girls are Mexican, but it's a Mexican standoff. Right. I think that that's what's held off, because they said, you know what, if you do this,
right,
we push this button and the entire financial system will unravel, just like they did intentionally in 1929. These people will stop at nothing, including killing off millions of us. Here's my biggest concern. Actually, my biggest counter, the financial sector. We've got the geopolitical issues. I think, and I want to have this discussion before we go, by the way, there are millions of shipping containers out in the seas right now that are being held up. I think that we're also investigating right now child sex trafficking.
Right.
I think we have an opportunity. If President Trump can take over, or that side of the quote unquote New World Order can take over, we can cut off their money supply. I'd like to make fiat currency null and void. That way their pallets of cash will be worth nothing. They can't make money and, you know, in the black market. But here's what I want to do. I want to claim a religious exemption to all of it, because these are a bunch of Satanists. I'm claiming a religious.
They are.
The whole thing.
Yeah. You know, the shipping container thing is very interesting, because I also have been doing a lot of research. It appears to me that the Bank of International Settlements, which is the mothership of all things financial fraud, debt slavery, all of it, they control everything. You know, we were raised to think Switzerland was neutral. It was anything but, and it still is anything but. All roads lead to the Nazi Bank of International Settlements. But I am watching these shipping containers, and it's obviously by design. And I think you're right that there's a lot going on with the trafficking, human trafficking, drug trafficking, organ trafficking, and all kinds of things nefarious that Trump was really trying to end. And he has all those executive orders in place. They haven't been rescinded. But the other thing that is disturbing is with that whole side is I believe that they're broke. I believe that that DC is broke. I believe bankrupt. They pushed it down the pike to December, but I don't think they have the money either. So we're dealing with that and a manufactured crisis. And now there's a water crisis. There's an energy crisis. There's all of this. Where from here for we the people?
Oh, I know exactly where. This is what they're going to do. The whole COVID thing, because they need crisis, crisis, crisis.
Right.
The only money they make is in child sex trafficking, in gun running, right? Narcotic sales,
right,
all that stuff, all the black money flows to them. They don't produce absolutely nothing as far as small business, but they can sure run guns, babies,
and drugs
all around the world. This is where we're going to go. Their fiat current system is collapsing.
Right.
They're using COVID, this slow cooking of, oh, everyone's wearing a mask and they're just going along with these mandates and we're all robotized to go right off a cliff. Now they're going to use the climate change hoax to bring us into full compliance. But here's the key thing, is that their entire economic system, they got brand new currency. They want carbon taxation. They want this new world order. And they're going to do it, I think, through climate change. It's to bring the ultimate fear to us that we're all going to die unless we send our carbon taxes to Al Gore.
Right. And the other part of that, you and I both have been very outspoken about the debt slavery model from the Rothschild banking cabal down that has enslaved all of our countries, which is where I think the alliance found common ground that is out there, I believe. But now the debt slavery model is being transferred to climate change. So what they're talking about is $150 trillion spread to all of our 209 countries in loans that we can never repay, to give them another 100 years of the debt slavery model to keep us enslaved. And we have to reject this on every level. And the other thing that they want to end is private banking as we know it. And you're hearing Yellen saying she wants to tax unrealized gains. That's called theft. And they want to watch every transaction over $600. That's called illegal surveillance of private people. Now they're talking about the 401k and IRA being monitored. What we're seeing here, in my opinion, is a desperate, broke puppet master regime that is finding any way they can to get their hands on our money and to take it out of our hands. But the other thing that they want to add to this is something called the social credit score connected to our bank accounts, with them controlling it out of the Switzerland, basically, and their cabal, where they're judging us on our day-to-day lives. What do you make of that craziness?
It's an extra, well, in the United States of America, we are the financial, I would say the free market side of the financial world, but the financial center of the entire universe because of our, you know, we're an industrialized nation. But this is what they've been doing for decades now, at least back to where we saw in 2008. It's an extraction of wealth. They've been offshoring all of our wealth. They need to have remote control of the United States so that they can continue to extract our wealth. But most importantly is the replacement is going to be they extract our wealth, and then we get a cradle-to-grave enslavement system that is medical tyranny and financial and debt enslavement.
Right. All connected. I saw even this Amarova that people really have to watch out for. I see their playbook leading to them putting her in during a recess appointment, which is, you know, the Obama playbook, pop somebody in that is set to destroy America from the inside out. This woman wants all of our financial transactions connected to the social credit score, but also that they can go in and take money out of your account if you go above a certain carbon level. You're starting to see, if you Google air flights for planes, for trips to Florida from New York, at the bottom right now, it already says this is a 50, how much carbon you're using when you go on a flight. Well, they're going to use all those metrics to go into our private bank accounts and take out money in fines. This is a complete and total, it's slavery on a whole new level, in my opinion.
You know what I did for sport during my 619 days? By the way, round the clock worked on, I was in charge of all the discovery. I had access to computers.
Right.
But guess what I did as a sport when just for, you know, with my spare time, whatever spare time I had while I was as a political prisoner, I studied, believe it or not, our U.S. code as it relates to sustainable development.
Right.
And you know what they did? Oh, Mel, I'm telling you, you know what you and I need to do?
Right.
I have all the documentation on this.
Wow.
It has been baked into our U.S. code. They used to call it Agenda 21. They literally wrote in the U.S. code that we need to stop calling it Agenda 21. We're going to call it sustainable development. They have sustainable banking. They got sustainable whatever, sustainable everything.
Wildlife, fishing. I mean, anything that you can name, they have a plan to enslave us within this framework that only benefits them.
Look at the guilt trip they put us on if you're not vaccinated. They have a mechanism now that if you breathe in the wrong way, too much CO2 output, oh, we got a little meter on you. Right. You're actually polluting the environment. We need to exterminate you.
Right.
Same exact thing, except what they're doing to us now with the COVID and the vaccine, that's going to be on steroids with climate change.
Well, in my opinion, that, like you said, they planned this a long time ago. Listen, even Hitler talked about climate change too. You know, these are boogeymen that have the solutions that they're offering aren't real, but also there's something called photosynthesis and, like, you know, carbon is necessary. But also all the models that they're using, all the statistics are from the same place, basically, that all the statistics they use for COVID to lock down the planet. And it's the exact same people. You and I have been saying, look at them, name them, point at them, see them. They are a very small group, and there's billions of us. I even found out, which is a shocking, interesting thing, there's only 7,000 elected officials in America at all. And we're letting this small group of people that are probably 80% of them are blackmailed. They've taken bribes. They're controlled by lobbyists, and worse. Should be in prison. We know that. But I have to say that people need to start really naming the enemy and getting it, because until people get what we're saying about who is really in control, they're not going to take back control. Now, here's one more thing I want to ask you, and then we're going to jump to solutions and ideas and how to empower the people. So I keep getting very upset as I watch Donald Trump just this weekend again with Janine. And again, Janine should have, as every other journalist, seems not to have the guts to ask him follow-up questions after they ask about the vaccine. She brought up the vaccine with Trump again. He said it's safe. And my heart breaks. And it, you know, he doesn't, and then she doesn't ask follow-up questions. Like, what about the VARS data? What about the CDC saying you're not vaccinated for 14 days after, therefore robbing anyone of true informed consent? What about the DOD numbers of Medicaid and Medicare? So what is your take on why, A, he's saying that it's safe when we know it's not, and B, why the journalists aren't countering him at all?
No, it's up to the American people. This is what I will say, is that we have an obligation to let him know. I'm not going to be a yes person and sit there. Like, for instance, with the red flag laws, I was full-blown Trumpian, but I said, not just no, but hell no, you're not doing that. Whoever's advising you on red flag laws, you need to consider we the people, because we're absolutely violently opposed to that.
Right.
We need to do the same thing with and go right around all these people. The journalists don't ask the questions.
Nope.
Everybody's sucking up to him. His advisors are telling him the wrong thing. And he's not getting the right information. Could you imagine the flow of information to this guy? Picture what you do on a daily basis.
Right.
He's got to consider, you know, national security and worldwide issues.
Right.
He's got these advisors. He's had this bubble, and we need to break through that thing and say, stop mentioning, you know, let's talk about the chimeric parasites that are crawling around inside the vaccine.
Right.
And
I don't understand. What kind of journalist? He's got to go on shows like yours. I mean, this is past the point. They're all in on it. When somebody says to me, so you and I travel around, I've been traveling around the country. People are like, you're such a patriot. I'm like, no, I show up anywhere I can to not be in New York City. I am a patriot, but that it's a big part of it. It just happened to coincide with, you know, me living in a communist dystopia with no law in Manhattan. But I have to tell you, we have to pay attention. A lot of people are saying, you know, maybe he's saying this about the vaccine because you and I both know the real plan was to keep us locked down as long as they possibly could under the guise of creating a vaccine. So he did push them in that direction. But now we're at a place where people have so much cognitive dissonance, they don't get it. They're about to mandate it, I'm telling you, to children in New York City. They're going to do it. And it's very, very dangerous. And I just feel like what we do need to do, like you said, is to be more vocal and have him hear us. But okay. I'm at an event. Somebody after the event that wasn't there, I'm having dinner and we talk a lot to whoever's around. We tend to sit down next to patriots. That's how I know we're the majority. It's mathematically impossible that I sit down next to patriots in 10 states and on a million stops.
Right.
Not possible. But so you're sitting there and you say to somebody, well, you know, what happened on January 6th, false flag, we have political prisoners. They'll say, well, what they did was wrong. I'm like, who are they? Well, the Trump supporters, they got out of control. I'm like, that is not true. That is not what happened. It's provable. And then they say what? Well, I watch Fox News and I say, I don't care what you watch. It's not true. Because let's talk about this for a second, because you're on the front lines of alternative media for a long time. And a lot of people talk about Alex Jones, but I've seen Alex Jones personally stop false flags over and over and over, regardless of what anyone thinks about him. He tends to be in the front yelling, and he did that day on 162. I think in the end of the day, when we see the real evidence and the discovery about that stuff, he really did do a service by telling people not to go there, but go the wrong way. But when you look at that side of it, what do we the people do now?
Solutions, okay, are really, really important.
Yeah,
this is essential, and unless we do this, they will overpower us.
Right,
to be done peacefully. We literally need to. If everyone right now, this is utopia. If we could just all of a sudden say, "That's it, we're done." Everybody, get up and walk outside and get to the streets. Every single community, every single city, every single state house, every single government building, get out into the public square and stand together shoulder to shoulder and say, enough is enough. We're done with your stuff. And we need to shut their system down.
Right.
And say, we're talking about an Egypt moment here. It's very powerful because guess what? And here's the solutions part of it. The perfect example, in Egypt, millions of people, we're not going back to work. Well, guess what ended that entire Egyptian uprising. It was big business. They said to the politicians are powerless at that point. They told the politicians, you're out of here. We're getting these people back to work. We're going to give them what they need so we can get these wheels turning.
Right.
Economically, we hold the purse strings. We can shut it down peacefully. Not one shot needs to be fired. No violence or anything like that. All we need to do is just shut their system down. Clog right. up traffic. Stop the economy. Don't buy gas.
Right.
They'll only last maybe a week.
Yeah.
The supply chain is screwed.
Yes. Yeah. And you and I talk about the truth is that we'd have to realize is everyone that stayed open as essential businesses during the lockdowns is in on it. And BlackRock is at the very top of this thing. They own everything. It's this, the cabal owns them, but it's a very small group of people. We've been led to believe that we have control over certain things like our stock market, like our economy, all of this. Well, really it's run by a very small group of people. If it's not the CEOs, just go look at the boards and you're going to find a very across all the corporations, the shell companies, all of that. So we really have to stop funding these people. But another thing, Pete, I wonder what you think about when I'm driving around the country, I see barren farmland for miles, barren farmland all over the country. But there's also abandoned steel mills, but entire towns around them, fully abandoned manufacturing, entire towns and all kinds of small businesses that should be thriving, just abandoned. And yet in the inner cities, we have a tremendous, in New York, you're in Ohio, we have a tremendous problem with homelessness, with mental illness, with all this stuff. And it's like, we the people need to realize America, it wouldn't take that long to rebuild from the inside out, but we have to do it, right?
We have to do it. What we did was, and this has been part of it's the long march through the institutions. As an industrial nation, we were strong. They took away our manufacturing. They shut down. My dad worked for Ford Motor Company in Green Island, New York. And they said, oh, you're polluting too much. And they took his plant. It was the heater core plant. It was dumping pollutants into the Hudson River. And they said, we're going to remove the plant and because it's polluting too much. Well, guess what happened? They moved the plant to Mexico and then China. And guess how much they pollute? Probably 10 times more than originally. So they used this environmentalism to do what? To not just extract wealth, but extract our manufacturing base. We're at war with China.
Right.
Our supply chain right now makes us very vulnerable. It's a national security issue. We need to have toilet paper manufactured. Let's go back to the essential goods and have essential goods manufactured here in the United States. Ibuprofen. Can you imagine? I found out through COVID that we didn't have any ibuprofen and Lysol because of China.
Unbelievable.
I came up with that scheme.
Yeah.
I said, we need Lysol manufacturing plants now and ibuprofen.
Right.
From a national security perspective, let's start at the top. Let's do a top down.
Okay.
Get Joe Biden out of office. Right. He is nothing but a Manchurian candidate for China.
Right.
That's why he doesn't have the nuclear codes, by the way. Get rid of that guy. We've been co-opted by China. Since we're at war with them, let's counter the war by taking our manufacturing base back to the U.S. Can you imagine? They can use slave labor over there in China and obviously dominate economically. Look at the prosperity that they have. They have billionaires and millionaires there, and they've got manufacturing, and they've got people, entrepreneurs that can build. It's obviously under a communist dictatorship. We don't have that ability. Back in the 80s, we used to be able to start a business out of the back of our car.
Right.
Why do we have homelessness? You can't do that anymore.
Right.
We're not producing anything but Taco Bell jobs. We produce fat kids and corn.
Right. And the other thing with the homelessness and the mentally ill and the drug addicts running all over our streets, they're telling us that they care about our health, yet those people have been thrown to the wolves. And on top of that, you know, there's plenty of money. We both know if we deal in real money to do all of this. But until we get this installed regime that is holding us back, honestly, that is destroying us from the inside out through the open borders and every way that they can, the ending of gas. You know, we have clean energy. We have nuclear that we should be using. We have everything we need. See, in my opinion, I feel like we're at this place. You and I both feel that there is that there is another level to this. That is a great awakening. That on the other side, I think it would probably take 18 months to 2 years of right of good leadership, constitutional leadership, people that love America, that are America first, that are committed to rebuilding America, that we could rebuild it from the inside out. But also another thing people should pay attention to with the shipping containers is exactly what you're saying. Why does America have to import anything from anywhere ever? We don't. And we have to get back to that.
We don't. I will say this. Gut feeling. I know what's going on. I read the writing on the wall as it relates to Joe Biden. I've talked to Juan 07, and there is a theory here, okay? President Trump, they had to get rid of him. Why? Because of exactly the solution that I mentioned about getting our manufacturing base. He freed up, I mean, you could drill baby drill right. on lands, on right? Because we've got more natural resources wealth than Saudi Arabia. We don't have to import oil from Saudi Arabia.
Nope.
I can prove to you that my solution that I just discussed, I robbed it actually from President Donald J. Trump. He was doing exactly what we needed to do
right.
to bring big business in. Apple was opening up big, huge plants.
Right.
Economic prosperity right there will get us out of this entire mess. We need right. to get rid of the communists though.
Right.
I think, guess what? I think that President Biden, and yes, I will call him President Biden, was needed to be installed in order for the military to say, not just no, but hell no. That guy's bought and paid for by China.
Right.
We are going to keep the commander-in-chief function as to the nuclear codes. He can go ahead and be the executive.
Right.
I think we have two different functioning presidencies right now.
Yep.
And whether or not it's President Trump, it could be that the military has retained control of the commander-in-chief function.
Right.
This is a very, very, very real thing. And there's only one way that they could have done that. Otherwise, it looks like a military coup. They had to wait for Biden to be put in office. So what are we going to see in short order? I think we're about to see the hammer come down, and it's not going to be too far out. I think it's coming down pretty quickly here.
Yeah, well, I think it, I do too, but I think it has to. But if you look at geopolitics, you really can see what they're doing right now. I firmly believe that their playbook, their color revolution playbook, if you look at it, the most egregious example to me is Libya, what they did with Gaddafi, but also all over. But right now it's people need to look. Why are they constantly talking about Ukraine? Our fake media is constantly telling us that Russia is trying to attack and that they need another war. We got Afghanistan. They're desperately trying to have another war. And nobody on the planet backs this except for them. They need a war. They need a war. They're starting a war here with climate change. It's not going to happen. And that's where I think we really have to pay attention to the fact that United Nations is very dangerous. They should never have been in America. I always say Germany might have lost World War II, but the Nazis did not. They just came here with Rockefeller, Kissinger, Bush Sr., Dulles, all the usual suspects in my mind. Started the Fourth Reich here. They now have a military base, a foreign military base for NATO in DC, basically near Langley, that is has no respect for our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, or we the people at all. I think we need to demand when law and order is restored, that this United Nations be kicked out of our country, get rid of the entire thing. They are the force of all evil, but I do fear that these people are so desperate. We know you and I talked about it last time. Biden and Blinken went to the UN to do an assessment of America's systematic racism and a white privilege problem and there's a gun violence issue and all of this, which they're creating all of it. And they're about to, I think, pop back in the UN and declare that a responsibility to protect America is fundamentally ruined. And I think we really have to wake people up to the fact that we've been deceived about the United Nations and we need them out of our country. Defunded completely, because we're the morons that are paying for the United Nations to lead us to the one world government that they are pushing now. I believe they are running the UN, the government, basically, because once George H.W. let in a bunch of communists from CCP into the United Nations as a total farce, they actually, if you look right now, look it up, who's running all the committees at the United Nations, it's CCP members. So what's your feeling on that? I feel like they got to go.
Well, the UN, obviously, over a long period of time, has been put together. It's a communist entity, number one. But we've been kind of offshoring. And I can show it in documentation, even starting back to Bill Clinton, PD. Go look up PD 26, where he says that if there's a crisis in the United States of America, we can just basically have the UN flag fly and our military reports to the UN. He did that in the mid-90s. Here's what we need to do, though. Remember Vietnam. We were all passionate about Vietnam, and there was a war in Vietnam. We were passionate on both sides. Well, guess what? The whole thing was a hoax.
Right.
It was created. It was manufactured with the Gulf of Tonkin. Even Pearl Harbor, they knew about it weeks in advance. Manufactured. They could have stopped it, but they love war. 9/11, perpetrated by the cabal to bring us into a war so they can make trillions of dollars. Right. The next event that comes, and this is why I want to say this now, is do not be deceived again. When I say we need tens of millions of people in the streets, the next time a major event takes place, what we need to do is go to the CIA headquarters, right, the FBI headquarters and protest, go to Facebook headquarters, YouTube, all of the mainstream media, and shut those places down.
Right.
Because
they're
the ones that are perpetrating these hoaxes on us. They're the ones that are perpetrating war, and it's time for us to shut their fake false flag system down.
Right.
We outnumber them.
Right. Once and for all. And it's up to us. And you have to get out there. And what the one thing is, and you and I both say it constantly, we don't need to be violent. We just need to show up in mass, united. We need to stop. Because I was in Times Square speaking 2 weeks ago, and I was pleasantly surprised because I looked out. It was the first time, because I kept thinking, what is wrong with New York? When did they become like the least powerful, the last people to fight back? New Yorkers, you would have thought they were first. But now I realize that most of them are brainwashed straight through their Ivy League educations right into corporate America and have no idea what's going on. All the people that I thought were the smartest people I know went with it. Hook, line, and sinker were the Yemenis that owned my bodega at the corner. These two Yemeni brothers knew the whole time what was going on. So, but I was in Times Square, and I'm telling you, I looked out. We got Black Lives Matter there. We got LGBTQ. We got gay, straight, white, Black, Indian, Asian, all standing there, standing up for health freedom and my body, my choice, again, and under the mandate. And I said, this is it. This is the solution. United we stand, divided we fall. It's that simple.
Do not, by the way, I think we need to go back to D.C. with 20 million people this time. No, but check this out. And I told the FBI this. I've been hitting them on Twitter. I'm like, we're going back with 20 million people, except this time we're going to police. Anybody that suggests breaking the law or bringing violence, we're going to put tie wraps on them and we're going to send them back to the FBI.
Well, you and I know that the sheriffs have a lot of power, by the way, and people can be deputized. Meanwhile, Trump did deputize a lot of National Guard, apparently, and a lot of other people. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that people are not connecting the dots like you do every day. But there is a lot. And I don't want people to think that we're like out there on our own. But it is up to us. This is God's war. You and I know clearly this is good versus evil, God versus Satan. God wins this, but we need to win it in his name. And that's where I am right now. So I can't believe you joined me. I'm so honored. I'm such a huge fan. And you're so bold and fearless, and you don't care what anyone thinks. And it is so refreshing to listen to you. And I suggest everyone do. But I hope you'll come back. And if you could tell my audience where they can find you, if they can't figure it out, that would be amazing. But it's good for you to tell them anyway.
Well, let's put it this way. All of our links, and we're spread out everywhere. You know why? Because nobody can take us down,
right?
Period. I can pretty much say this since 2018. If you go to PeteSantilli.mobi, pick one platform. If I get deleted from one, I'll be on another. Right. They cannot delete us. We will not go down. We will not bow down. So I broadcast 5 hours a day in the morning at 8 a.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Eastern. Join us anytime on our live streams.
You are a fearless warrior, my friend. And it was a pleasure meeting you in real life. And the minute we met and we gave a big hug, I said, oh, this is a friendship that's going to last a very long time. You are a true hero to me. You are somebody that gives me a lot of my own courage. And I thank you so much for joining me. And I will see you again very soon. And keep on keeping on, because nobody does it like you.
God wins. Trump
won. You better believe it. See you next time.